Morgan, it's Charlie Jenna back at the radio. I'm trying to sneak in a nap today. Although I hate naps, I figure it this way. Waking up once a day is bad enough. Get up and dance, not necessarily in that order. Charlie Tuna coming up in the next 60 minutes. This state in history, the latest in Hollywood gossip, they say it involves somebody very close to me. And baboons are smoking more and enjoying it more. We have a research with details.
Give up on us, baby. Don't make the wrong seem right. The future isn't just one night. It's written in the moonlight, painted on the stars. We can't change ours. Don't give up on us, baby. We're still worth one more try. I know we put a last one by. Still come through. Don't give up on us, baby. Lord knows we've come this far. Can't we see? stay the way we are. The angel and the dreamer, who sometimes plays a fool. Don't give up on us, I know. We can still come through.
Soul sounding tinkles and big brass band now and then too. One of a kind love affair. The Spinners up next with Charlie Tuna. My thought for the day about inflation. One nice thing, if when you don't buy something now, you save a lot more than if you hadn't bought it before. one-of-a-kind love affair. Two's not necessarily a crowd either. And three's even more fun. It's Charlie Tuna here with a little filler item I found in the paper the other day about bony noses. Check your boss's when he walks in today. It says a bony nose with little flesh and a jagged look indicates a difficult boss. We should all be thankful we're not working for a Pinocchio. Charlie Tuna. How many times have you heard the expression, today is the first day of the rest of your life? Many times, no doubt, but do you take it seriously or brush it aside? There are many days in tomorrow, but they all begin today. What are you doing about your tomorrows? What's in store for your future? Take some time to reflect before considering a course of action. But once you've considered, analyzed, and thought it through, start transforming your plans into reality. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. So start living your life today. On the telephone, I have a lady who's got a little gossip piece for me. She said somebody very close to me, and I find out it's Kay Lenz, a young actress, Rich Man, Poor Man, many other movies. Used to be a former secretary, is engaged to David Cassidy, is that right?
It was just a picture of them, and he announced last week in Europe that they were engaged.
Kay Lenz?
Right, and David Cassidy.
And David Cassidy.
Yes, and it was both of their pictures in Europe.
In Europe?
Right.
Well, that's where Kay was, or is.
Right, so maybe you can get some calls.
It's funny, she never mentioned anything about that before she left.
Well,
funny things happen over in Europe. She has talked often about some of the gossip publications that have sometimes linked her to various men, but none of those were true. And as far as I knew, she was still very single for the years ahead.
Right, well.
I wonder if David laid that old line on her from the song, I Think I Love You.
Thank you.
That's ABBA, the Dancing Queen. Charlie Tuna, well, as long as we got you up and dancing, you make me feel like it. Here's Leo Sayer. We got some other little folklore about different physical characteristics. They said if the corners of a person's mouth droop, it indicates he's jealous. An even mouth says he's even in temperament, and small ears indicate stinginess.
Huh? You got a cute way of talking. You got the better of me. Just snap your fingers and I'm walking like a dog hanging on your lead. I'm in a spinning off, shaking on a string to go. You make me feel like dancing. I wanna dance the night away. You make me feel like dancing. I wanna dance the night away. You make me feel like dancing. I feel
feel like dancing. Well, you got to have a little time out for dancing out. And here, Charlie Tuna. Well, have you ever stopped to think the only person ever to get all his work done by Friday was a guy named Robinson Crusoe?
Charlie Tuna.
In the course of doing your job, you probably come into contact with many people whose jobs interrelate in some way with yours. And just as your job is important and necessary, so is that of the next guy. Each of us functions in different ways, a different task, in order to keep the military services operating at an efficient level. So the next time you interrelate, do it with respect, courtesy, and a smile. On the telephone, I have a 13-year-old schoolboy in Illinois named Brian Moran, who's come to the attention of the news media of late because he's got the modern solution to an age-old schoolboy problem, that of homework. He is building a computer to do his homework. Is that right, Brian? How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
How's the computer coming along?
Oh, it's coming along great. All I need is a few more parts now to finish it all up, the mainframe. I've got the CPU board running, and all I need is the parts from the companies that I ordered from to finish all the interfaces.
You've been working with, I know, a California firm. I guess you've named your computer after, huh?
Yes.
What's the name of the computer?
It's called Signacomp, after Signetics Corporation in Santa Clara.
And they've been, giving you a key component or two for that.
Yes.
What's the basis now of the computer? Does it solve all your problems, like the mini computers they have, or does it go a little beyond that?
It's on the order of a mini computer, except within my reach, I can expand it to almost anything because I'm not worried about blowing anything out because I know how it's built. And there's almost anything I can do with it because you can write any program that the computer can sort out and function all these different things.
That's amazing. I talked to your principal there a minute ago, and he said, I'm going to get Brian for you because he's gone beyond most of us here with the technology that you've developed back there. You've been rather interested, I guess, in what makes everything tick ever since you were about, they said, 3 or 4 years old. Your mom was quoted in a story saying they found you reading Newsweek magazine.
Yeah, I always like to read Newsweek.
And as far as your other difficult assignments with the computer, do you feel that you'll be able to add to it and develop it over the years now?
Oh, yes. I built it, like, in a fully modular system, and I built it on, like, printed circuit edge connector cards so that I can take things out, plug it back in, rearrange it so that I could plug in an infinite number of devices.
What's the reaction of your teachers?
They go, wow, I don't understand them.
Now, are you going to be able to store, as far as knowledge in there, all the homework and everything that you're
doing? It's almost unlimited because we use standard cassettes, like, which put music on. You use those for storing data on it, and you can almost store unlimited amounts of information on them.
You must have a lot of friends all of a sudden that want to come over to the house for a while.
Well, lots of my friends like to see what I'm doing.
What about other projects that you've developed before? You've had some awards at science fairs, haven't you?
Last year I won outstanding honors at state level in papers and projects division, and paper sessions are tomorrow, and I'm hoping I do as well or better.
Well, it looks like you're on your way. What's your future ambitions or goals? Have you isolated any that you're really interested in now?
Oh, I think I might when I grow up, to be a industrial control designer, mm-hmm. or possibly a microcomputer designer. That's what I like to do.
I was curious if you saw the motion picture, I guess it was on television too recently, 2001, and what you thought of HAL in there.
Oh, I've read about that. I didn't watch the movie because I had another engagement. But, that could be possible. Not really, though, because the computer is only as smart as its programmer.
That's true. Well, listen, I'm going to let you get back to your school activities there, Brian.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Continued success. I was really impressed, and I think the public at large, once they become a little more knowledgeable of what's going on in your mind, will be that much more impressed. And good luck, and I know someday we're going to be hearing about Brian Moran. That Newsweek magazine you were reading, we'll probably see you on the cover of it.
I'm the boogeyman. Turn me on. I'm the boogeyman. I do what you want.
ABC and the Sunshine Band. I'm your boogeyman here with Charlie Tuna. They have residents in Stillwater, Oklahoma, got a reminder of the recent streaking craze the other night. Police say 4,000 people turned out for Oklahoma State University's annual streaking frolic. Despite high winds and heavy rain, two men wearing crash helmets and tennis shoes made their entrance on a motorcycle, but the crowd found them overdressed. It seems most of the celebrants wore nothing at all. You imagine? I think the guys on the motorcycle should get some sort of award. Have you ever tested how cold a motorcycle seat can really get?
With summer only a wave away, USAFE would like to remind you that the water can be your best friend during those long and hot lazy days. But it can also be your worst enemy if the proper water safety precautions are not taken. If you're swimming, use the buddy system. Avoid areas where there's a fast-moving current. And don't swim right after you've eaten. If you plan on taking a boat cruise, remember to take along enough life preservers for everyone on board. Summer only comes once a year, so now is the time to prepare yourself for the water. Think safety and enjoy your summer.
You're a rich girl, and you're gone too far, 'cause you know it don't matter anyway. You can rely on the old man's money. You can rely on the old man's money. It's a bitch, girl, but it's gone too far, 'cause you know it don't matter anyway. Say money, money won't get you too far, get you too far.
Rich Girl, Hall of Notes here with Charlie Tuna. On the telephone, I've got San Antonio, the Southwest Research Foundation, trying to track down who is the man who's been running some experiments with baboons and cigarettes. Apparently, the baboons are becoming addicted to them at this point, and I'm trying to track down. Have you figured out who I talked to yet?
Yeah, 6.4511.
Oh, okay, fine.
Extension 2120.
Transferred here.
Sir?
Yes?
If you will call San Antonio 512-684.
Okay. Uh-huh.
5111.
Okay.
Extension 2120.
Right.
And ask for Dr. Rogers.
All right. He's one of the researchers, right?
Yes, sir. He's the one that's handling them.
Oh. And if somebody with a cough answers, I should hang up, right?
That's right.
Three words are synonymous with America. What three words? We the people. We who have come from nearly every country in the world. Two-thirds of us live in cities or suburbs. 60% own our own homes. On the first census in 1790, we were less than 4 million. Today, we are over 192 million strong. We the people. America.
A few pounds, tight pants, points, hollering out. She was a black-haired beauty with big dark eyes and points all her own, sitting way up high. 60 Chevy. Working on mysteries without any clues. Working on our night moves. Trying to make some front page driving news. Working on our night moves. In the summertime. Some high in the sky song. We were just young and restless and bored, living by the sword. And we'd steal away every chance we could, from back room to the alley or the trusty wood. I used her, she used me, but neither one cared. We were getting our share, working on our nightmares. Trying to lose some awkward teenage blues. Working on a nightmare.
Night moves. Charlie Tuna. In the games of life, mine are never called on account of darkness. Here's David Gates and Bread.
Lost and all alone. I always thought that I could make it on my own. But since you left, I hardly make it through the day. My tears get in the way, and I need you back to stay. Thank you.
Without your love. Here with Charlie Tuna, I've got good news for you today, at least as far as inflation goes. There's a small company in Minneapolis trying to bring back the nickel candy bar and soda pop for its employees. It's got a vending machine, though, that sells things for a dime now. They're looking for one that'll sell it for that amount of money, a nickel. Detector Electronics, which is a manufacturer of fire detection systems, has reached the halfway mark. And beginning next week, they're offering the candy bars for 15 and also for 10 cents. Most of vending machines you look around nowadays sell candy bars for 20 cents. Some demand a quarter. But the president of the company said he searched for months to find an old vending machine because it's part of an incentive program they have for the employees to keep it growing and all the people happy. It's a small way to say thank you. And to make up the difference, the company themselves, between the cost and the bargain prices, actually said the vending machines have always cost money. Any special product, big order, new product, or just because it's a nice day means drinks in the house, soft drinks. He says they're now looking for nickel vending machines. What this country really needs, I've always felt, is a 5 cent vending machine. Never take anything for granted. Did you know that it was 6 years after the Continental Congress appointed a committee to bring in a design for the seal of the United States before they decided on what the seal should portray? The Franklin Adams Jefferson Committee brought in a design, but it was not until 1780 that it was acted on and referred to a new committee. The second group fared no better than the first, and a third committee was appointed. In 1782, the reports of all three committees were presented to Charles Thompson, Secretary of Congress. He selected certain features, and from this came the seal of the United States, which is today the symbol of our nation's democracy. On the telephone, I have Dr. Rogers, who is with the Southwest Institute that's been doing research with baboons while they're puffing on cigarettes. Is that right, Dr. Rogers?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
What's the purpose behind this research right now you're doing?
We are conducting research under a grant from the National Heart and Lung Institute on the cardiovascular and pulmonary effects of cigarette smoking.
Mm-hmm. And the baboons are comparable subjects for this.
Yes, there's a good background of information to indicate that in many respects, the physiology of the baboon is much like the human. They get atherosclerosis or hardening of the arteries just like we do.
They do.
And if they get put on a high-fat, high-cholesterol diet, they get much worse atherosclerosis just like humans.
Well, how many cigarettes a day do they smoke, don't they?
Our animals are currently smoking 48 cigarettes a day, 7 days a week for several years.
Whoa. Now, how many baboons are involved in this project?
50 at the moment.
50 baboons? That's a lot of cigarettes.
Yes, it is.
What is the research pattern down there as far as the baboons? They have them every couple of minutes, or how many cigarettes a day?
I have cigarettes every 15 minutes. And if for some reason I'm late, or my technicians are late because I'm harassing them, the animals begin to shake their cage and carry on because it's time for the next cigarette.
They've gotten into a pattern.
Right.
Just like most people who don't have their cigarettes.
Correct.
Are they addicted to them now?
That's probably a little bit strong word for the way the baboons are at the moment. Based on our research, it takes the baboon about a year to become habituated or addicted, if you want to use that word. And they are sensitive to the kind of cigarette and its nicotine content, and they do have definite likes and dislikes. But I wouldn't go so far as to say they were addicted at the moment.
The baboons, you're saying they do have preferences as far as the different brands of cigarettes?
Well, we use entirely research cigarettes, officially made cigarettes, not commercial brands.
I see. They have a whole new angle on advertising.
Yeah, be careful.
Well, do they have any other rewards outside of the cigarettes then?
Good question. They learn to smoke by water rewards. When they make an appropriate puff, we dispense a small volume of water into their cage through a second pipe. So they learn that if they puff hard enough and long enough, they will get a water reward, and we gradually increase the demands that we place on them, and they smoke initially for water rewards.
Do they blow smoke rings or anything else?
No, not really. As I say, they carry on if we don't present the cigarettes on time.
Mm-hmm.
And one general experiment we did, for example, the animals were smoking, making some 500 puffs a day on a cigarette that yielded 2 milligrams of nicotine in the smoke. And then we substituted other cigarette which had about 1 milligram of nicotine in the smoke, so that if the animal is trying to you know, maintain a nicotine input, he's going to have to roughly double his number of puffs per day.
Hmm.
And we found that some of the animals, the ones with the longer smoking histories, did indeed dramatically increase their number of puffs, while some of the other animals that had been smoking for shorter times, typically less than a year, did not care, and they continued to make 500 puffs per day and got the water that they normally would have earned.
When will the research be completed on this?
We are just approaching the one-year mark, and we're going to go 2 years for sure and maybe longer.
And then
cigarette smoking did disastrous harm to our bodies immediately. We might not take it up. It takes a long time.
Yeah. So they'll probably have some interesting conclusions, too, as a result of all this.
Yes, we hope so. We're looking not only at, ultimately, at the effects of cigarette smoking and high-fat diet on coronary arteries and various measures of hematological function, blood clotting, these sorts of things, and also on the development of chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, or emphysema, which appears to be related to smoking, doing human epidemiological work.
Oh, most interesting. Well, listen, continued success on your research, Dr.
Thank
Rogers.
You.
We talked before we went on the air. I was asking Dr. Rogers if he had heard about Dr. Christian Bernard, the pioneer heart transplant specialist over in Africa. He has recently, you said you're aware of it too, thinking about eventually transplanting the hearts of baboons to humans. Is that correct?
Apparently, that's an idea. The baboon is in Africa as the coyote is in the western United States, regarded as a nuisance and able to live on the periphery of man, maintain his populations. And so it's a readily available source. And, of course, that's been one of Dr. Bernard's chief problems, is getting hearts for transplant purposes. And it's, I'm just a general layman at this point, but it might work. I don't know.
I was just thinking, with my luck, I'll get the heart of a baboon that's been puffing on cigarettes 500 times a day.
Carry on, my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Once I rose above the noise and confusion, just to get a glimpse beyond this illusion. I was soaring ever higher, but I flew too high.
We'll be right back.
Kansas. Carry on, Wayward Son, here with Charlie Tuna, the Wayward Disc Jockey, where it's time once again for the state in history. Those born in the state include composer Franz Joseph Haydn in 1732. She'll talk about You Gotta Have Franz. Also born in the state, Dutch painter Vincent van Gogh in 1853. Huh? I can't hear you. In 1842, general anesthesia was first used for an operation. He was a real knockout. In 1858, Hyman Lippmann of Philadelphia received a patent for a pencil equipped with eraser. The guy who invented the eraser was probably the most perceptive judge of all when it came to human nature. In 1867, Secretary of State William Seward reached an agreement with Russia for the purchase of Alaska for $7,200,000 in gold. They called it Seward's Icebox. The only ones who didn't object were a bunch of well diggers. Also in 1918, daylight savings time went into effect in the United States for the first time. Well, that was back when they still had something to say. And in 1824, the Society for the Reformation of Juvenile Delinquents was incorporated in New York City. And during their first official meeting, the members' cars were stripped. That's the way it is this date in history.
Gloria,
Disenchantment and Gloria, G-L-O-R-I-A. Whatever happened to that one? That's going to have to count it for another Charlie Tuna Show. Before we say our goodbyes, one final news note about studies of dying patients in both the U.S. and India have discovered individuals in both cultures apparently find the moment of death highly exhilarating and peaceful. They said the two studies suggest the distinct possibility of an afterlife. At interviews with more than 1,000 American doctors and nurses and 700 Indian physicians, they recounted the reactions of the patients as they died. In both cultures, they said the patients in the final seconds of their lives had elation that was combined with the dying person seeing the vision of a dead relative or friend appearing before them and other realities such as beautiful scenes and landscapes. They suggest maybe there really is something universal to die. Well, this whole show is going to die now. I got to get out of here. Hello today to all our friends and listeners at Elmendorf Air Force Base in Alaska. We'll see you back here tomorrow. And until that time, stay tuned. This is the American Forces Radio and Television Service.
Hey, Charlie, before you can it, let me remind you that the 7206 Air Base Group is in USAFE.
That's right, but it's in USUCOM, too. Let's get in tune with that. USUCOM is otherwise known as the United States European Command. Your command.
This is the American Forces Network, Europe.
American Girl Scouts learn all about German culture. Please become an adult volunteer for the Girl Scouts.
I know a tale and it wants to be told. Lend me an ear and you'll hear it unfold. Hear the piper.
The Girl Scouts need you.
Pay heed to the piper.
Please call for full details about the fun of being an adult volunteer.
More music, more often. This is Music Radio AFN Kaiserslautern.
Central European time is 10 o'clock.
AFN News from the wires of the AP and UPI.
Good morning. This is Army Sergeant Nick Palladino reporting. The patience of police in Downey, California paid off this morning, and a would-be bank robber has surrendered.
The end of last week was also the end of Jimmy Carter's first 100 days as president of the U.S., and this morning, AFN Today and NBC News take a look at those 100 days, not so much through the eyes of the experts as through just folks. We'll tell you more about it after we say good morning and get into the music. Like this.
Brazil with the Ritchie family and Bill Swisher on AFN today. Good morning. How you doing? Oh, one of those days, huh? Well, listen, as long as we're doing this little musical travelogue, how about a quick house fluke to Margaritaville?
Nibbling on sponge cake, watching the sun bake. All of those tourists covered with oil. Drumming my six string on my front porch swing. Smell of shrimp there beginning to boil. Wasting away again in Margaritaville. Searching for my lost sugar and salt. Some people claim that there's a wall to blame, but I know nobody's fault. Nothing is sure but this brand new tattoo. But it's a real beauty, a Mexican cutie. How it got here, I haven't a clue.
Two-thirds of us live in cities or suburbs. 60% own our own homes. On the first census in 1790, we were less than 4 million. Today, we are over 192 million strong. We the people, America.
A little too tall, could have used a few pounds. Tight pants, points, taller now. She was a black-haired beauty with big dark eyes and points all her own, sitting way up high. Way up firm and high. Out past the cornfields when the winds got heavy. Out in the back seat of my 60 Chevy. Working on mysteries without any clues. Working on a night move, trying to make some front page driving news. Working on a night move in the summertime.
those night moves. Charlie Tuna. In the games of life, mine are never called on account of darkness. Here's David Gates and Bread.
Lost and all alone, I always thought that I could make it on my own. But since you left, I hardly make it through the day. My tears get in the way, and I need you back to stay.
Some Bread. Lost without your love. Here with Charlie Tuna. I've got good news for you today, at least as far as inflation goes. There's a small company in Minneapolis trying to bring back the nickel candy bar and soda pop for its employees. It's got a vending machine, though, that sells things for a dime now. They're looking for one that'll sell it for that amount of money, a nickel. Detector Electronics, which is a manufacturer of fire detection systems, has reached the halfway mark. And beginning next week, they're offering the candy bars for 15 and also for 10 cents. Most of the vending machines you look around nowadays sell candy bars for 20 cents. Some demand a quarter. But the president of the company said he searched for months to find an old vending machine because it's part of an incentive program they have for the employees to keep it growing and all the people happy. It's a small way to say thank you. And they make up the difference, the company themselves, between the cost and the bargain prices. Actually, he said the vending machines have always cost money. Any special product, big order, new product, or just because it's a nice day means drinks in the house, soft drinks. He says they're now looking for nickel vending machines. What this country really needs, I've always felt, is a 5 cent vending machine. Never take anything for granted. Did you know that it was 6 years after the Continental Congress appointed a committee to bring in a design for the seal of the United States before they decided on what the seal should portray? The Franklin Adams Jefferson Committee brought in a design, but it was not until 1780 that it was acted on and referred to a new committee. The second group fared no better than the first, and a third committee was appointed. In 1782, the reports of all three committees were presented to Charles Thompson, Secretary of Congress. He selected certain features, and from this came the seal of the United States, which is today the symbol of our nation's democracy. On the telephone, I have Dr. Rogers, who is with the Southwest Institute that's been doing research with baboons while they're puffing on cigarettes. Is that right, Dr. Rogers?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
What's the purpose behind this research right now you're doing?
We are conducting research under a grant from the National Heart and Lung Institute on the cardiovascular and pulmonary effects of cigarette smoking.
Mm-hmm. And the baboons are comparable subjects for this.
Yes, there's a good background of information to indicate that in many respects, the physiology of the baboon is much like the human. They get atherosclerosis or hardening of the arteries just like we do.
They do.
And if they get put on a high-fat, high-cholesterol diet, they get much worse atherosclerosis just like humans.
Well, how many cigarettes a day do they smoke, don't they?
Our animals are currently smoking 48 cigarettes a day, 7 days a week for several years.
Whoa. Now, how many baboons are involved in this project?
50 at the moment.
50 baboons? That's a lot of cigarettes.
Yes, it is.
What is the research pattern down there as far as the baboons? They have them every couple of minutes, or how many cigarettes a day?
Yes, about cigarettes every 15 minutes. And if for some reason I'm late, or my technicians are late because I'm harassing them,
uh-huh.
The animals begin to shake their cage and carry on because it's time for the next cigarette.
They've gotten into a pattern.
Right.
Just like most people who don't have their cigarettes.
Correct.
Are they addicted to them now?
That's probably a little bit strong word for the way the baboons are at the moment. Based on our research, it takes the baboon about a year to become habituated or addicted, if you want to use that word. And they are sensitive to the kind of cigarette and its nicotine content, and they do have definite likes and dislikes. But I wouldn't go so far as to say they were addicted at the moment.
The baboons, you're saying they do have preferences as far as the different brands of cigarettes?
Well, we use entirely research cigarettes, specially made cigarettes, not commercial brands.
I see. They have a whole new angle on advertising.
Yeah, be careful.
Well, do they have any other rewards outside of the cigarettes then?
Yes, good question. They learn to smoke by water rewards. When they make an appropriate puff, we dispense a small volume of water into their cage through a second pipe. So they learn that if they puff hard enough and long enough, they will get a water reward, and we gradually increase the demands that we place on them, and they smoke initially for water rewards.
Do they blow smoke rings or anything else?
No, not really. As I say, they carry on if we don't present the cigarettes on time, and one general experiment we did, for example, the animals were smoking, making some 500 puffs a day on a cigarette that yielded 2 milligrams of nicotine in the smoke, and then we substituted other cigarette which had about 1 milligram of nicotine in the smoke, so that if the animal is trying to, maintain a nicotine input, he's going to have to roughly double his number of puffs per day. And we found that some of the animals, the ones with the longer smoking histories, did indeed dramatically increase their number of puffs, while some of the other animals that had been smoking for shorter times, typically less than a year, did not care, and they continued to make 500 puffs per day and got the water that they normally would have earned.
When will the research be completed on this?
We are just approaching the one-year mark, and we're going to go 2 years for sure and maybe longer.
And then
cigarette smoking did disastrous harm to our bodies immediately. We might not take it up.
It
takes a long time.
Yeah. So then you'll probably have some interesting conclusions, too, as a result of all this.
Yes, we hope so. We're looking not only ultimately at the effects of cigarette smoking and high-fat diet on coronary arteries and various measures of hematological function, blood clotting, these sorts of things, and also on the development of chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, or emphysema, which appears to be related to smoking, doing human epidemiological work.
Oh, most interesting. Well, listen, continued success on your research, Dr. Rogers.
Thank you.
We talked before I went on the air. I was asking Dr. Rogers if he'd heard about Dr. Christian Bernard, the pioneer heart transplant specialist over in Africa. He is recently, you said you're aware of it too, thinking about eventually transplanting the hearts of baboons to humans. Is that correct?
Correct. Apparently that's an idea. The baboon is in Africa as the coyote is in the western United States, regarded as a nuisance and able to live on the periphery of man, maintain its populations. And so it's a readily available source. And, of course, that's been one of Dr. Bernard's chief problems, is getting hearts for transplant purposes. And it's, I'm just a general layman at this point, but it might work. I don't know.
I was just thinking, with my luck, I'll get the heart of a baboon that's been puffing on cigarettes 500 times a day.
Right. Carry on, my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
once beyond this illusion. Our story never higher, but I flew too high.
Carry on, Wayward Son, here with Charlie Tuna, the Wayward Disc Jockey, where it's time once again for the state in history. Those born in the state include composer Franz Joseph Haydn in 1732, which he'll song about You Gotta Have Franz. Also born in the state, Dutch painter Vincent van Gogh in 1853. Huh? I can't hear you. In 1842, general anesthesia was first used for an operation. He was a real knockout. In 1858, Hyman Lippmann of Philadelphia received a patent for a pencil equipped with eraser. The guy who invented the eraser is probably the most perceptive judge of all when it came to human nature. In 1867, Secretary of State William Seward reached an agreement with Russia for the purchase of Alaska for $7,200,000 in gold. They call it Seward's Icebox. The only ones who didn't object were a bunch of well diggers. Also in 1918, daylight savings time went into effect in the United States for the first time. Well, that was back when they still had something to say. And in 1824, the Society for the Reformation of Juvenile Delinquents was incorporated in New York City. And during their first official meeting, the members' cars were stripped. That's the way it is. This state in history.
I don't wanna see.
G-L-O-R-I-A. Whatever happened to that one? That's going to have to can it for another Charlie Tuna Show. Before Sarah goodbyes, one final news note about studies of dying patients in both the U.S. and India have discovered individuals in both cultures apparently find the moment of death highly exhilarating and peaceful. They said the two studies suggest the distinct possibility of an afterlife. At interviews with more than 1,000 American doctors and nurses and 700 Indian physicians, they recounted the reactions of the patients as they died. In both cultures, they said the patients in the final seconds of their lives had elation that was combined with the dying person seeing the vision of a dead relative or friend appearing before them and other realities such as beautiful scenes and landscapes. They suggest maybe there really is something universal to die. Well, this whole show is going to die now. I got to get out of here. Hello today to all our friends and listeners at Elmendorf Air Force Base in Alaska. We'll see you back here tomorrow. And until that time, stay tuned. This is the American Forces Radio and Television Service.
Hey, Charlie, before you can it, let me remind you that the 7206 Air Base Group is in USAFE.
That's right, but it's in U.S. EUCOM, too. Let's get in tune with that. U.S. EUCOM is otherwise known as the United States European Command. Your command.
Oh,
This is the American Forces Network, Europe.
American Girl Scouts learn all about German culture. Please become an adult volunteer for the Girl Scouts.
I know a tale and it wants to be told. Lend me an ear and you'll hear it unfold. Hear the piper.
The Girl Scouts need you.
Hey, heed to the piper.
Please call for full details about the fun of being an adult volunteer.
With more music, more often, this is Music Radio AFN Kaiserslautern.
Central European time is 10 o'clock.
AFN News from the wires of the AP and UPI.
Good morning, this is Army Sergeant Nick Palladino reporting. The patience of police in Downey, California paid off this morning and a would-be bank robber has surrendered.
The end of last week was also the end of Jimmy Carter's first 100 days as president of the U.S. And this morning, AFN Today and NBC News take a look at those 100 days, not so much through the eyes of the experts as through just folks. We'll tell you more about it after we say good morning and get into the music. Like this.
Family and Bill Swisher on AFN Today. Good morning. How you doing? Oh, one of those days, huh? Well, listen, as long as we're doing a little musical travelogue, how about a quick house fluke to Margaritaville?
Nibbling on sponge cake, watching the sun bake, all of those tourists covered with oil, strumming my six string. Porcelain
shrimp ever again.